I think we're going to split our time a little bit. I'll keep looking at my watch. I'll have sort of 10 or 15 minutes to give you a quick introduction to all the work that we do in Malawi, and then Anthony will come along and open up God's Word. So, the Caruso Trust is a UK registered charity, a mission that myself and my wife founded, as I said at the beginning, 7 years ago. J-Life Ministries is a Malawian parachurch organisation, and we work as a close partnership. In the UK, we talk about the Caruso Trust. In Malawi, everything is under the label of J-Life. So, where's Malawi, in case you don't know? It's a landlocked country in southeastern Africa. Being landlocked, it has no access to ports of the sea, limited resources of its own, but it has lots of lovely people and a vibrant church that needs encouraging and developing and discipling. The J-Life team in Malawi, who are our partners and who I go out 3 times a year to be with, this is our latest team photo. Caruso Trust is supporting personally about half of those people and all the training ministry work that's being done. They have other partners who help them with some of the community, the food provision and so on. So we work very much as a partnership. So that was a picture when we were out there in October with myself, my wife Ruth on the right-hand side, four of the J-Life team, and a doctor who was out with us from the north of Scotland, who we take volunteers out with us to be part of the team and share in the work. Malawi is a very beautiful place. It's beautiful, but in many of the rural areas, this is one that we're working in, and we actually have a water project that we're raising funds for at the moment. This community of 3,000 people here has no primary school within 10 kilometres until a small one they've set up themselves with encouragement from J-Life. No health clinic within 10 kilometres from there. And no clean water. The nearest water is a sewage-filled river that's come out of Blantyre that's about 400 metres away that they just fill up buckets of. And yes, people get ill. So we're looking to get a water supply in for them and an irrigation project and training in good agriculture practices and using some land that J-Life have there too. So that's something we're doing. 30% of adults in some of these rural areas are HIV positive. This is HIV support groups, which J-Life have started this year. And I've had the privilege of speaking in on times I've been there. And sometimes you find 50 people, 60 people giving their lives to Christ when you preach the gospel. I feel I get the privilege of being there at harvest time while these guys are doing a lot of the sowing and the caring and the tending. But it's a great ministry that's helping people who have HIV, which is very many. Child-headed families, I was talking a bit about that with the children upstairs. Child-headed families are a big challenge. Of the 17 million people in Malawi, 8 million are children, 7, 8 million. 1 million of those are orphans through HIV, malaria, family breakdown, and so on. That's a house where there are some child-headed families living. Here's an example of one that, in fact, we've helped with a house along the way. But that little girl of 12 is looking after her two brothers of 10 and 7. And there's just no adult in their lives, and the team do their best to visit them every month and give them some food and try and keep them in school. But they have an older sister, and the older sister at about 14 or 15, she ended up being taken advantage of by a man, ended up with a baby, and then he abandoned her. So she was back not just looking after the young ones, but with a baby of her own as well. Now she's remarried and somewhere else again. And Cecilia's looking after the two younger ones. I mean, it's just tragic stories. that go on. Another family here, this family lost three adults when there was a lightning strike on their farm. So that girl on the left, when she was a teenager, brought up all the younger children. The one on the right, she's actually 15, but she's ill. No medical care. I think a pancreas condition, they think it is. So she's very small. And the girl on the left now has a baby because, again, a man came, took advantage of her and then left. Churches, a rural church may not have comfy seats and a good sound roof even. That's a church I spoke in a rural area just outside where J-Life work. Mud pews. And when you do a whole church family photograph at the end, it's row on row on row of children. And then there's a row of adults at the back. And so that's the church reflecting the makeup of society, which is 50% children, 25% young adults, 25% older adults over 30, 35. It's a very young society and a very young church. So we need to reach those children. Oops, is that something? Something funny happened there. Let's just go back and try again. No. Sorry? Okay. Yeah, it seems to have gone. Right, this shows four main areas of challenge for our work in Malawi. Poverty and illiteracy just creating so many pastoral needs where people just do not have anything. Like Anthony described himself as not having any shoes until he was 14. It's a story that's repeated over and over again. 90% of church leaders are untrained, and that's been the focus of a lot of our work that we've been doing. There's a challenge of a young population, that's also on that slide, and the challenge of Islam that's becoming more and more confident, let's say, and traditional religion, which mixes in with Christianity. So people are at church on Sunday and the witch doctor on Monday. So what are we doing about this? This is the kind of picture. It's a challenging situation, socially and materially, but there's also a lot of encouragement for the church and real heart in people to get by. So you'll see on our poster here, training thousands to reach hundreds of thousands for Christ in Malawi. It's an aspiration, but it's actually a reality as well. So as a strap line, because we know that by training those untrained church leaders, those church leaders will influence their congregations to follow Christ and into discipleship. And by picking some of those that we train and training them to train other church leaders in their areas, then you can multiply that impact layer upon layer. In addition, we're clearly interested in training the youth to be the next generation of leaders, because it would be lovely if in 20 years' time we weren't saying 90%+ of church leaders are untrained, because people have been discipling the next generation of leaders up to be much more equipped. So, first, yes, these slides are not quite coming out right. So the first, I've got four little areas just to share with you that we work in. The first is basic rural church leader training. This is a program called Learn to Serve. And this is what Connex, the director of J-Life, and myself have worked on developing over the last 6 years. So many church leaders, men and women, in these rural areas just have no opportunity to learn the basics. In fact, many of the church leaders give their lives to Christ when the gospel is clearly explained. But we teach them a basic package of training, four lots of 1 week. So it gives a basic toolkit of skills. This is pictures of various trainings taking place. We've trained over 1,000 church leaders so far. At the beginning, Anthony was our administrator. Now Anthony is one of our trainers, and as of this year, we are going to turn our one team into two, and Anthony will be one of the team leaders that's leading a whole Learn to Serve team to give more training opportunities. important to train ladies as well as men, so that's pastors, elders, women's ministry leaders, church secretaries, treasurers, youth ministry workers, and so on. Because with the church booming, you need basic Bible teaching, servant attitudes of leadership, and practical biblical pastoral care in these very difficult situations. We are now this year planning to pilot up not just training church leaders, but training village chiefs. So what does a village chief look like? Well, it's these row of, they're mostly men, but there are a few ladies who are chiefs. I think if Anthony had more time, he's supposed to be one of the chiefs, but he's always too busy preaching the gospel to be the chief. But many of these chiefs here, if you can bring the gospel and bring biblical discipleship into the lives of the chiefs, then that will cascade down into their communities, their villages, in a way. So really transformation from the top down. So we are taking the Learn to Serve training for church leaders, and we're going to just alter it a little bit to make it suitable for the chiefs. So it'll cover things like integrity, accountability, servant leadership, leading a community in a Christian way. What else was there? The whole area of the environment and preserving your environment. These flash floods that have been going through, a lot of that's because the environment's not being looked after. Yet that's a responsibility of the chief. So giving them guidance, building resilience into their communities. So the second one here is just to tell you about the centre that we've been developing, where Anthony lives just nearby to this. So that's an aerial view of our training camp, and yet that's only about 5 miles from the centre of Blantyre City, a city of 700,000-800,000 people. So it's a wonderful site on the edge of Matura Mountain to have as a training camp. That's the Crusoe Resource Centre downstairs, where we have a library, and upstairs there's JLife's offices and training centre. We built this in 2016 using money we raised, and we were delighted to get a commendation from the Scottish Parliament for the work. It's lovely when you get the secular world acknowledging that you're doing something good, because those moments can be rare treats sometimes. So here's the training room with holds up to about 30. In fact, you'll see Anthony on the far left there. And this is the library, which Anthony has been responsible for developing, managing, and getting now ready for making available. You see, 90% of church leaders are untrained, but 10% have had training, but then they don't have any money for resources to get books to read. So it's a bit like back in Victorian times here. The library movement came because education was increasing, but people didn't have their own resources. So similarly there for church leaders. Okay. Oops, not going on. Seems not to be moving on. Right. And last year we produced our first translation of a book into Chichewa, and we're looking to start producing and publishing books very shortly to support the work. Thirdly, we've talked about how children need to learn to hear Jesus. That was what we were talking about upstairs. Half the population are children. So we've started children's Bible clubs. But the key thing about this is, that's my wife Ruth giving a Bible story to about 300 children that came. The key thing about this is that we train young people to reach the children, because it's the only way it's going to be possible. It's a parachute. They play games because they just don't have activities in their rural communities. So training groups of young people, and we're training another 10 this year. That will be 31 leaders. We'll be leading 10 Bible clubs. And last year we had about 1,200 children a week coming every week to Bible clubs. So that is a real way of reaching the children in the community. And finally, here's Anthony. Anthony is JLife Ministries Youth Discipleship Coordinator. So Anthony's involved in training those youth to lead those children's Bible clubs. He's not responsible for the clubs. That's Donnell, another member of the team. But Anthony is involved with training the young people to lead those clubs. He also mentors an internship program that Crusoe Trust funds for some young people working for 2 years with us, getting experience of all parts of the ministry. And Anthony is also going out training young people in basic discipleship. This was at an orphan centre nearby, and in classroom settings from a church like this. And really, these are growing because the young people are telling other young people, this is worth coming to be trained, to be discipled. So we're now producing another version of Learn to Serve called Youth Learn to Serve, a bit like Youth Alpha came out of Alpha. We're now looking to train up the next generation of youth leaders with a program designed specifically for where they're at now as they look forward to the future. And as I finish, just a couple of things to say. You'll have heard about the cyclone in southern Africa. It didn't get much publicity when it hit Malawi first. It all got the publicity after it went out into the sea and back into Mozambique and Zimbabwe. But Malawi has 100,000 people displaced and 900,000 in some way affected out of its population of 17 million, and all those are in the south. In our area, just around us, two key bridges collapsed just under the force of water. Again, it's flash flooding because of environmental degradation, deforestation. But this is inevitable when 90% of the population have no electricity. So they're cooking over charcoal, over wood, and that just keeps getting cut down. And Malawi is running out of wood. So that got knocked down. These are the houses of some of the families where our children's Bible clubs are. We just received those 2 or 3 days ago from the team out in Malawi. So we have launched a fundraiser because we can get money straight to the team out there, who this week will be straight out there giving what the need, the help they need. And we found that people on the ground actually know what's needed. And they tell us what's needed is plastic buckets so they can walk to fresh water because, you know, the toilets have all filled up and all overflowed and some things are contaminated that would normally be fresh water. So they can get water. They can collect water to make mortar to rebuild the walls. And cooking utensils that were lost when the flash floods came through. And plastic sheeting, either to make little tents or simply to re-roof the houses and get some shelter and some diesel. So they can get out there and distribute these things. They can buy them out there, but people need that. And then they can get themselves back on their feet. It's not long-term stuck in aid. It's emergency help for a few weeks that gets people back on their feet to help themselves. And we're doing that as well at the moment. So there's another house there. That's my very rapid introduction to what some... there's other areas of work we do as well. But it's mostly we focus on being a discipleship training, leadership training with the church leaders, but also now with chiefs and with youth. And really bringing transformation as a partnership to eventually, we hope, the whole of Malawi, but focusing in southern Malawi at the moment. Anthony.